Let us read before we pray from Philippians chapter 4, from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So far, this precious and holy word of God. It speaks to me, most certainly also you, all of us. If it is being said here, be careful for nothing, then all them who have a carefree, a problem-free, a nice, smooth-running life, they of course can say with joy, this is very nice. But if cares and problems come, right then we are placed into a test. And right then we shall remember this word. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Also this we may not overlook and not overhear, not be made known unto men, not in a conversation, debating about it, but being made known unto God. Where does this happen? In the closet. There, where we seek the face of the Lord, there we shall let our requests by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving be made known unto God. I want to remember it, and maybe all of us. Whoever really expects the answer from God, he must come to God on the way which he determined for it. You cannot speak with men about all kinds of things and then expecting the answer from God. If we speak with people, then they will even speak more, saying more, answering more than we actually like. But if we speak with the Lord, letting our requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving, then he will answer. And here, in verse 7, right away, the description was given how it then will be with us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then, when we have fulfilled the first part, namely, letting our requests be made known before God, then the God of peace shall keep our hearts and minds, all our thinking in Christ, and Christ is the Word. Then all our thinking will be within the guidelines and limits of the Word of God. Then we can be quiet in His presence and wait for what He will do. Please let us take these words to heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want to be kept. We want to be found in Christ. This is the divine medicine. We want the answer from Him. Here we are shown how we get it. Let us today, in trust to our God, make known our requests. And I think we certainly have enough of them. Although they are not spoken out, He knows them. The psalm writer says, "Before a word comes forth from my mouth, you know it already, O God." He knows what we want to say, and He will answer accordingly. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank You for the Bible, for the Old and New Testament, for the prophetic teaching, for the Gospels, but also for the personal teaching which You are giving us in Your Word. Faithful God, bless today in a very special way. Now, together we want to make known our prayer requests, our petitions before Your presence, so that Your peace can dwell in us, so that our hearts and minds are kept, Lord. Otherwise, they are not kept, and we will be put to shame. Faithful God, give us today the grace in Your presence to learn this great lesson once for all, that we bring all petitions into Your presence, laying it before You, to then be ruled by the peace of God, and our hearts remain kept. Faithful Lord, we ask You for salvation for the lost, for healing, for the sick, for deliverance, for all who are burdened and who are bound. Lord, confirm thy word today. Save, heal, and manifest thy power in our midst. We place us consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Faithful God, receive us all. Look down on us graciously. Speak and bless. We ask you for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to welcome all of you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord, especially if somebody should be here for the first time. Feel at home, and we hope that it will not be for the last time. I have to extend heartfelt greetings from the brethren from Norway, Sweden, and also of a brother, the brother from Stockholm, Sweden, and then from many from Finland. They all send heartfelt greetings to you. In Norway, at the conference, I had an experience together with all who were present, which was beyond what you experience every day. You all know, when you preach the Word of God, and if then also certain circumstances come to it, and the conditions from the beginning are very unfavorable, then you are under attack, and the people misunderstand very quickly. Most of them, this is well known, have rejected the ministry of Brother Branham and must of necessity also reject all what is happening now and what goes back to his ministry. And because I'm standing in the first row, they only shoot with live ammunition. But for me it's a good sign. I don't want on that day to come from behind, but I want already here to have stood in the first row, fighting the good fight of faith. The following happened. Also there, the influence was very strong, and also various doctrines. And a young brother, prior to that, he wrote me that I should not come. And I answered him, I like to stay here. I wish you God's blessing. May he use you in a mighty way. And when this young man read my letter, he took the phone and just before I had to depart, and he said, Brother Frank, come. I can't stand it. Come. And I then traveled there. And yesterday, 1 week ago, it happened that we felt the presence of God in the meeting in a special way. And at the end of the preaching, the Spirit of God seized this young man and he began to cry. With a loud voice, he called, "O God, forgive me. Brother Frank, forgive me. Brothers, forgive me. Sisters, forgive me." And the Spirit of God came so mighty upon him, he wept bitterly. And then he came to me and said very loud, "You never preached something which would not have been in conformity with the Bible. This I knew, but I was under another influence." And this word influence went through my marrow and bone. I was under another influence. Beloved, today we want to take this word as a subject, asking ourselves the question, under which influence are we? Who influences me? Who influences you? Why do we react as we react? Everything has a reason and a cause. Don't forget that we, at the end of this service, have still to announce that at the last Sunday in October, this hall is not available, but for a few days the whole building is occupied, that we just think about what shall be done. Now we want to look into the Word of God and letting ourselves be led into all truth by the Spirit. I start with 2 Timothy, chapter 4, from verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So far, this precious and holy Word of God. I would like to connect this scripture with testimonies and with a teaching, with a divine commission and a ministry which must now be fully known. Many of you, and I want to say almost all who know me, know that I would like it best to stop to preach. Nobody knows what already the responsibility entails, let alone when all the tests and resistances come along, and sometimes misunderstandings among closest friends and brothers. A man who has a heart suffers terribly from it. No one can disregard this fact and pretend as if nothing has happened. But when I read this word today, I just felt like, receive it by faith for yourself. As Paul could say then, I want to say it today by faith. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. It is not so that no attacks would come and no aggressions would be directed against us, but so that the Lord carries us through it, that he preserves us, that we time and again may experience his help anew. And I could really report good things about the meetings in Norway or Finland, and have seen that people, so to say, in the remotest areas know more than I know, being influenced, and then of course coming into an inner conflict. And therefore today this question: under which influence are we? I don't forget it. In Finland, in Helsinki, I was invited for dinner at the daughter of Brother Soininen and their family. Brother Soininen, at that time, was the driver of Brother Branham. Him I loved, I knew him. We were friends. And this sister wept already in the meeting so bitterly. She sat in the last row, but I could see it very well from the front. And at the end, she came to the front and she said, Brother Frank, we've heard so terrible things about you, but we know that God has called you. And how grateful we are that we can be here today, greeting you. And they invited me then in the house, both wept. And she said, literally, she speaks good German. And she said, Brother Frank, you are the only one who has come to preach unto us the word of God, as God meant it, through Brother Branham, and as my father also tried it. And she said, together with her husband, we will do everything to invite you again. I have seen that despite of the negative influence, people who carry the word of God in their hearts will remain under the divine influence, despite of the greatest difficulties and problems. The divine will triumph in them who were touched and chosen by God. They will remain under the divine influence. I don't want to go here into the further details, but the halls were really, in both countries, were filled, and this really, to my surprise, God opens doors. And if I tell you today that he, now, in the last week, has opened the doors for the Arabic countries, then you can believe me that. It were strange ways which God used a woman who is not yet married, who is just about to get married. She is suspected of espionage and must flee from the Iraq, from Baghdad, and comes to Germany, right to a suburb of Krefeld. In desperation, she gives birth to the child, has nobody around her, and the baby was taken away from her without that she has seen it. She didn't know whether it's a boy or a girl, and they didn't show it to her. She went through so much trouble. Also, all these details, I don't want to dish them up here. Suddenly, a man, a German mechanical engineer who worked there in Baghdad, he returns and hears the whole story or knows it already and looks through the Krefeld telephone book, sees all the religious clubs, churches and denominations and stops at the name Ewald Frank. He never heard of me, never seen me, and stops at this name. On Sunday evening, with the last flight, I returned from Helsinki. Monday morning, the telephone rings, and the man says, "Are you Mr. Frank?" I said, "Yes, I am." This and that is the problem. Would you have the kindness to take care of this lady? I said, "Dear Mister, with God's help, I will do what I can do." Then a nurse from the Iraq came. And this nurse is such a precious child of God. She worked already in Saudi Arabia, in the Iraq, in the Iran, in Jordan, in Cairo, in the Lebanon, everywhere. She worked already as a nurse placed there by the UN. And she is acquainted with the believers in all these countries. She also came to Krefeld, and on purpose, I just brought with me one newspaper of last Saturday, so yesterday, a week ago. In the meantime, we were several times in the press. Here you can see Brother Frank and these two ladies. It made headlines, courts were consulted, and so forth. On Wednesday, last week, I had a conversation because of this child at 8 o'clock in the morning. In the afternoon, at 16 hours, we could pick up the child. You cannot imagine what kind of joy was there in the hearts, especially in the heart of the mother. This woman, an unbelieving woman, suddenly, she bent her knees, and the Lord spoke to me, "Tell her, as you as a mother wished to have a child, looking for it, wanted to have it back at all costs, so God seeks you." She listened, the tears rolled down, and already we were kneeling down with some and were thanking the Lord. The lawyer who read this in the newspaper on that Saturday, one among hundreds, phoned me and said, "Mr. Frank, I read this in the newspaper. I offer myself for free to help." And do you know what happened on Thursday? After this man was with us and after we fetched the child on Wednesday, he phoned on Thursday morning whether he could see the child and the mother. And I said, "Of course." And already they drove on the premises seeing the child and the mother. And when this man was about to get into his car, a few meters before the car, something spoke in my heart. Let him not drive away in such a way. And I ran after him and said, Mr. Lawyer, you are here now. I would like to show you the chapel. And as we were in this simple house of God, we started to talk with one another. And he turns around and looks up to the balcony where the photo of the Lord hangs with a cloud. And he asks, what is this? And then I explained it to him. And I said, Mr. Lawyer, the people who don't believe have declared God to be dead, but he is alive. This is a proof that the Lord lives. I spoke briefly with him and with them who were around. And then I have said at the door, I would like to pray before we go out. I just said it. By the way, he had an accident. He walked on two crutches. I just said, I would like that we pray before we go out. I just heard as the two crutches fell on the ground and this man was on his knees. Next to him, somebody else. And I still stood. I wanted to pray like this. I folded already my hands like this. And the man was already on his knees, like being struck by lightning. And then I knelt down and we prayed. And also this man, when I finished praying the first sentence, he prayed straight away after me. And there was such a presence of God which filled the building. And he said literally, Mr. Frank, you don't know it, but I have heard of you, and I know who you are. This is no coincidence. This is guidance from above. Beloved, it's something wonderful. If one can experience how God leads and how he guides, so that one time and again can see that his hand is in it. And this nurse, who is already at least 20 or more years a believer, she was so touched of all. They also watched the film of Brother Branham. They have never heard something about it. She said, Brother Frank, she always used the word special. And she always said, you are a special man. I said, no, I'm not, but God gave a special word. Then she sat down and wrote down the addresses of the preachers and of the churches in all these countries. And she said, travel to these churches. Tell them of that what God has done. Nobody knows something about it. And you can imagine how often I flew over these countries thinking on the millions of people. I only preached once in Beirut and was once in Amman, Jordan. But until now, nothing special took place, no open doors. And here God leads earthly circumstances. Unbelieving people from the Iraq, from Germany, sends a believing nurse and he has put the connections together and has opened doors. With some I already established telephone contact. And shortly I will travel, God willing, into these Arabic countries to bring the precious message of God. We were praising the Lord God. And last Wednesday evening, this I may not forget to say, we had a consecration hour. This little child should be blessed according to the wish of the mother. And this we also did then. And after a brief word observation, we had prayer for the sick. And this was probably the first meeting where we have prayed for the sick, in which God answered on the spot. God has already answered several times, but on the last Wednesday, God answered on the spot. Already on Thursday morning, at around 8 o'clock, the first phone calls came in. Just miracles. The one sister, it was Sister Kaufmann. Yes, I mean our Sister Kaufmann. She had a multiple fraction of the leg, was lying months in hospital. Only pain. Not one night she could sleep. And she was in the adjoining room. She could not walk at all to come for prayer. And while praying for others, she himself was healed by the power of God. And today, when Sister Zimmermann came in here, she sits there. She said, Brother Frank, I'm healed. I come without my stick. How wonderful. Our God is faithful. Then there was a Czech couple, the woman in her mid-30s, a terrible female trouble. And on Friday morning, Siegfried Fleck comes with this Czech brother, very touched. And this Czech brother says, Brother Frank, at that time you prayed for my wife when she had the cancer in her head and she was healed. Now she was healed of that trouble. One cannot say it here. And he was happy and gave his testimony there. Some others followed. Then I phoned Brother Rus before I departed yesterday from the airport Düsseldorf. And I said, listen, Brother Rus, I'm not here this evening. I have to fly. I have to get things done. And I want to tell you just briefly, healing so-and-so, just reported briefly. And then he says, I also have to say something. My wife was healed of diabetes. For years she had to inject herself. And she was at the doctor's. And the doctor confirmed that the insulin levels are completely normal. This he told me over the phone before I departed from the airport Düsseldorf. Yesterday, beloved, God is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His ways are wonderful. God wants that we come under the pure influence of His Word and of His Spirit. God wants that we withdraw from every other influence, that we know where we have to hear and where we don't have to hear, where we should be and where we should not be. You all know, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Was Eve not under the influence of the serpent? Was not Adam under the influence of Eve? And you can go through the whole Bible and you can find out under which influence men were. Prophets were under the influence of God. The word of the Lord always came first. There is no person who can be under the divine influence and then rejects the word of God. Everyone who wishes to be under the divine influence must first of all receive the word of God in himself. The divine influence is not what we sometimes think it is. The divine influence is inspiration of the Spirit of God. And this divine inspiration is not blown to us by the wind, but it comes into our soul when the Word of God has found entrance in us. This is divine influence, and this is divine inspiration. In the same way is human and devilish influence when human and devilish words find entrance in us. Ye may think, "Oh, I'm strong enough, I can listen to everything, and then I will discern." Eve felt also strong enough. She listened to everything. She wanted to know more and more. And we sit there, we want to know, we want to experience, and don't know that with all of our wanting to know and with all of this listening, the poison of the serpent is in all these words. And in the end, we are poisoned without having understood it. Divine influence is there where God's word has found entrance in our soul. Human influence there where human words find influence. And devilish influence there where the devil has the opportunity to speak. Now, don't tell me that the devil will talk to us about communism. Please don't tell me that, because I don't take that from anyone. And don't think the devil will talk to us about the bad weather, and also not about the good weather. When the devil comes, then he comes always with the word of God, in quotation marks, and he takes this word and interprets it in his own way. And already we are under his influence. We see this time and again in all of the Holy Scripture. There was a prophet Micah to whom the word of the Lord came. There were 400 prophets in Israel. Upon them came a lying spirit. It were men of Israel. They were prophets, but they had not the pure, unfalsified, holy word which the Spirit could have made alive. They were reasoning, certainly, the land is ours, Gilead and so forth. We can go up and take it. They were reasoning with their intellect. In the word of introduction, we were reading that our hearts and thoughts, our mind, are also kept. If our heart is kept, then also our thoughts are kept. Our mind, then everything is being taken captive under the divine obedience of the word. And then we speak the language of God. Here it says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known." We are convinced that the Lord, through Brother Branham, for all who are ready on the inside to follow the Lord, He has spoken a very clear language. Where there is uncertainty, there is also confusion. Where confusion is, there is discord. Yes, one entails the other. In the upcoming circular, I set forth that all mixing must have an end. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. And here we don't just have to think about all denominations. Then we must also think on us and our general condition. Let us be honest today. All of us, we are of course coming out from a mixing, and most continued to mix. They have put own things together again with the revealed word. And therefore, what we actually expect from God has not yet taken place. And let me tell you this. We are, of course, waiting for the latter rain. What good would it be if it would fall today? And we are all sitting with a hybrid seed in our hearts. Word of God, other opinions, our own traditions, and whatever else may be in the same heart. Remember, at that time, everything will come up what is in the heart. And not only the one seed, but everything. And therefore, a new field must be plowed. All of the soil of the heart must be plowed, even very deep. And then the pure divine seed must be laid into it without any mixing. And I could say it as a thus saith the Lord. All who will still continue to mix, they will fall by the wayside. Somewhere they will not be able to walk on, because the hour of God has come, and God is jealous for His church. He wants that we give Him all of our ear. Nothing of one's own may be mixed anymore with it. And here is our very big problem. Not because God didn't speak, but because we mixed again the divine speaking. It is easy to look back into church history and to say, they mixed, they have done it. You can apply this measuring rod very well to everyone else. But what was done with the end time message? Beloved, it is a tragedy. And just now, I was confronted with the latest things that have come on the market, I mean the religious market, that people claim Christ has returned already in 1963, and many other things, and refer to this or that statement. It is so important to take the word of God as it is written. The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. The same Jesus who was crucified, who was buried, who rose on the third day, the same Jesus who was taken up by a bright cloud into glory, this same Jesus will return in like manner as he went up into heaven. Nobody can tell me that he now returned as the revelation of the Word. He can come as the revelation of the Word. As often as he likes, may he come today and reveal unto us his Word. That's okay for me. But the return of the Lord will be so as his ascension was. He will return in like manner as he went up into heaven. But the confusion has reached the highest level of all time. Only because we added to the revealed pure Word of God many things. And shall I tell you today, the biggest problem is with those people who always have revelations. The biggest problem is really with them who seem to be very spiritual. But they are then again so spiritual that they stand above the Word and one cannot grasp them anymore. Beloved, when Brother Branham said many years ago, no dream, no prophecy, no revelation may be passed on unless it was checked and at least two of three brothers have received in the presence of God the certainty by the Spirit that the thing is of God. Prior to that, it may not be passed on and may not be given to the church. Today, everyone is still allowed to travel around who has money and who has time. Everyone can tell the revelations of their heart's content however he likes and to whom he likes. Where is the respect before God? Under which influence are we if we don't submit under the clear instructions of the Word of God? A pious appearance doesn't help anyone. Each one must give an account to God. And he says, it can't go on like this. He is jealous for his church. I hope that the coming circular letter will be very sharp, like none until now. For the time has just come that one looks into the Bible and comes under the divine influence. Someone has said or asked, he said, you should ask his wife. She will let you know. And I was thinking about it. If we would read the Bible and there would be written, they have come to hear what the wife of Moses, what the wife of Abraham, what the wife of Isaiah, what will the wife of James say? Oh, let us go to the wife of James. She will let us know about everything. And then we go to the wife of Peter, and then perhaps to the wife of John. And then we are informed. Then we don't have to hear anything anymore. Then we know. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Do you know how far the so-called spiritual people are away from God and His Word? As far as the East is from the West, and a religious appearance and a pious face has not saved anyone yet until today. Only the faith in Jesus Christ and the total submission under His precious and holy word, this will count on that day. Everything else will be blown away by the wind, and the people will be wrapped in this wind and will be blown away themselves. You may say, Brother Frank, such a language. Until now, I only used elegant words, but the Spirit of God in me, the Spirit of God in me is jealous for the church of the Lord. I am connected and deeply rooted with the word that God spoke through Brother Branham, not only from theory, but by a divine responsibility right down to my soul. And this word of God must be proclaimed in a pure and absolute truth. All who still have own knowledge, they will remain on the wayside, because God has made an end to the mixing now. Not will make an end, but has made an end. And whoever does not recognize this and still runs to the tree of knowledge, and you know very well it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, both comes from this one tree. But the other tree, this was the tree of life. People did not understand why God has spoken with us. Friends, brothers and sisters, withdraw from every human influence behind which is a devilish influence, and face the Word of God, and with it the divine inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Why were the men called gods to whom the Word came? Because the inspiration through the Word came into them. They became partakers of the divine nature and of the divine life. The same must happen with all of us. A stop to all mixing. You notice yourself, and how good it is then to hear when people say, if the believers meet with one another and it is a lovely atmosphere, then everyone rejoices, all feel at home. But if there are tensions, if the air is full of smoke, then nobody feels well anymore. Beloved, all these tensions, all these disagreements which the enemy brought into the ranks of the called out ones have to get their death blow by the sword of the Spirit, and they must have found their end. God makes the final claim on His people in these days. Paul said at that time, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Here it is written, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. May come what wants to come. Your and my God, in any circumstance, in every situation, He can help, and He can deliver us, leading us on the way which will bring us to our destination. Whoever is of God heareth God's word, and whom God sends, he speaketh God's word. Actually, you can read both. Both is written in the Gospel of John. Here, in John chapter 8, the wonderful words are written. In John chapter 8, in verse 29, perhaps 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We must understand that the Lord Jesus, here in the flesh, he had to do the prophetic ministry. And as prophet, as the Son of Man, he was sent. And he proclaimed the words of God. And then he called people who should preach the word. And then he said, whoever hears you, hears me. But this word, you can read it up. It's written, when I send someone, this word, most people overhear and overlook. In John 8, verse 46, it says, or 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Who of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Every man through whom God really speaks, speaks the truth. He speaks the truth, not from learning, but from the inside. And with this I mean, he quotes what is written in the Bible. For instance, of John, it was said that he was asked who he is. John chapter 1, here it says, verse 21, and they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. How did John answer? With the word of God. John has answered with the Holy Scripture. Jesus has answered with the Holy Scripture. The apostles have answered with the Holy Scripture. It was always the right word, not only a word, but the word for the context determined by God. John didn't answer with Jeremiah 33. He didn't answer with Psalms 1. He answered precisely, being led by the Spirit, with that word which found fulfillment through his ministry. The same the Lord Jesus did. He took the prophet Isaiah, according to Luke chapter 4, and he was reading from chapter 61. And then he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes." Then, when we read the book of Acts, just to pick out one scripture, there are many of them. In chapter 15, the apostles took counsel with one another. And here it says, in verse 13, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David," and so forth. What was it? The apostles were not meaning and thinking. They were under the divine influence, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They have found the right word in the right context, at the right time, and applied it rightly. Why? They were ordained by God for it. And so do we believe with all our hearts that Brother Branham emphasized these scriptures which were fulfilled through his ministry. And whoever thinks that another one must still come, an eighth messenger, he shall kindly read the Bible once again. In Revelation chapter 1, in the last verse, it's of course written, "The seven messengers in his right hand are the seven angels of the seven churches." Unless whoever expects the eighth must bring him on the market himself. God had only seven. And in the days of the seventh angel, the mystery of God is finished, as he declared it unto his servants, the prophets. All of the word seed is now available. Now, we once again, by the grace of God, will have a sowing with the absolute pure proclamation of the revealed word, and the people may not mix anymore, but receiving the seed of the word and keep it in purity. All of us who we have heard the word of God in this generation want to be under the pure and clear influence of the Holy Spirit, under which were all the prophets and apostles. These were men sent from God with a commission, not because they wanted to go, but because the Lord has sent them. Never has a man of God brought a confusion. It was always the others. We could draw comparisons. To all of us, it is clear Moses was under divine influence because of the commission which he received. Under which influence was then Datan, Korah, Abraham, and who they were? Under which influence were all the others? When Moses carried out a binding commission received from God. Then with it, he was under the divine influence, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let us ask today, under which influence were then all who brought trouble, sorrow, and confusion, and all these things? Under which influence were these people? All of us, unto this day, we excused everything, and we always said, oh, they mean it so well. Who does not mean it well? Didn't those people mean well? And what was it? In the kingdom of God, it is not enough to mean something well. One must have been appointed and determined by God for it. We can go through the whole Bible. And when Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 settles the account with the brothers of whom he says they are lying apostles and just wear a mask of apostles, then it wasn't that he became angry and that he lost his head in his anger. It wasn't like this. But the Spirit of God in him was jealous for the church, for whose sake he was sent to bring the divine revelations. And he saw how everything was brought into confusion, into a chaos. And at the end, he still got a bit angry and says, those who preach the circumcision, they should rather cut it off. And one sees in his words what language he used there, beloved. I don't know how long we can still use our language in our services in such a cultivated way. The zealousness of the Lord for the church gets stronger and stronger. And just consider how many years it has been since Brother Branham went home, and he already counted with the coming of the Lord. We know it is at the door, but because the people again calculated 83 and 84, calculating it from 1963, and look at 1,000 years as one day, and then calculating 1,000 years, one day, 24 hours, so and so much, and then half an hour is 20 years and a little bit. Such a calculation has never paid off and will never pay off. God will put the babblers to shame. He made this his own task. God alone will be right in all the confusion, but we must come out of the confusion, and this happens in the way that from now on we really withdraw ourselves from everyone who is under strange influence, from everyone who goes to and fro in the houses, from everyone whose telephone bill in the week and in the month reaches huge amounts, just because time and again something can be said. Beloved, let us ask ourselves the question, what is achieved by what you say? Was one soul led to the Lord? Has one person be helped? Did we come forward by it? It is as with the Palestinians. People calculate with their own death. If they only can detonate a bomb so that everything is upside down, and they calculate that they die themselves. And this shall be of God? Nobody believes that. may we understand it. God is a God of order, and His order was left unto us in His Word. He has set into the church, and because He has set into the church, therefore the ministry in the church is continued. And if then somebody comes and really says from his heart, God revealed to me, I shall no longer come to church. Beloved, I ask this very open and very sincere. What kind of spirit speaks like this? Can the Spirit of God speak against the Word of God? When it is written, do not forsake your assembling together, and the more as you see the day approaching. And then somebody comes and says, I have it so that I shouldn't come anymore. Beloved, we no longer want to believe these pious sayings, but the Word of God alone, following the Lord, and this with all our heart and with all our soul. All those who still have any revelations in the future, be not angry with me. But I have to pass it on as I received it from the Lord through the ministry of Brother Branham and based on the Holy Scripture. In the future, nobody should go to a single person with any dreams, visions, voices, revelations, or whatever it may be. He shall write down what he saw, heard, and received, should give it to us, and with sincerity of the heart, we will come together as brothers, pray about it in the presence of God, and let us be given clarity whether it is from God or not. Beloved, the time is here. When shall the divine order start? Only when the divine order starts, then the human disorder has its end. Before that, it cannot have an end at all. So, we must start with a divine order today, not tomorrow. In the future, don't let anyone tell you, be they your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, don't let anyone tell you anything through any revelation, but bring that thing into the church so that we can pray about it. And I'm sure that then the revelations decline. In the future, if we apply these standards and put them into practice, perhaps by the end of the year, you will not meet anyone who still has to tell you a revelation. That's how it is. Then electricity costs are saved, working time is saved, and telephone charges and hardship and grief are saved. Much, much is saved. If we withdraw from this strange influence, and if we all submit to the divine influence, then the Spirit of God will first of all lead us to repentance. All of us, everyone will see himself in the light of God. And then the Lord will come with all of us to His aim. Under which influence are those who come to church, who come to the gatherings? Under which are they who don't come? Under which influence are those who really love by deeds and them who cannot love, although they claim it? Precious friends, all of us, we have to examine ourselves in the presence of God. We want to come back under the divine influence, under the pure divine influence, taking into account the pure words of God, to which we don't add anything. A Brother Branham, he not only was able to say concerning the preaching, "Thus saith the Lord," but concerning all of his visions and revelations which God has given to him. He gave the challenge, if somebody in all of the world can prove that something was not right, then he wants to be labeled a false prophet. If all the prophecies would have been correct, then Switzerland, Germany would be saved long time ago. Then the Russian would be at the Rhine River. If I would list all the things which I have heard myself, which people told, I wouldn't know what would come out of it. All kinds of things were told. Have you ever heard that somebody in the course of 20, 30, 40 years would have come to you and would have said, "Brother, sister, you know, at the time I said this and that, it didn't come to pass"? Ever experienced something like this? Not at all. The people then cover themselves in silence and hope by themselves, the head temporarily bowed a bit, hoping that the others are also silent about it. But God doesn't want to look at this any longer. He wants to give clarity. And just as Brother Branham had the pure proclamation, so he also had the pure moving of the Holy Spirit. A vision was pure. Prophecy was pure. "Thus saith the Lord" was pure. Everything was just as pure as the word which was preached. May in the church everything become just as pure as the pure word of God which we have heard. Then everything is in order. Then we will see the glory of God. Great miracles and signs will happen without our having to help. God is the Lord, and He is the Almighty, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Together, with the help of God, from today on, we only want to absorb the pure Word of God into us and place ourselves under the purifying blood of the Lamb and the pure moving of the Holy Spirit. Whoever agrees with this can answer with a loud Amen. Let us stand up and pray. As we bow our heads, considering the situation, which is now so serious as never before, the time in which we arrived is holy to the Lord. The people which in these days hears His word is ordained to be sanctified in the truth. Further, chosen to experience the moving of the Spirit in purity, in connection and alignment of the Word. Lord our God, together we come into your holy presence. Faithful God, you know the inner conflict of my heart. You know my grief for my people, for thy people, for all who are called by thy name, for your whole church, for the work all over the earth. Faithful God, in these days the proclamation shall come to its completion, but the completion is the manifestation of the power of God in those who let themselves be aligned according to the proclamation. For thy word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what you have sent it for. Faithful God, you are claiming your people. You act through the blood of the Lamb, through the Word of God, and through the Holy Spirit. You separate the light from darkness. You want to place us fully under your influence, under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as Moses then, so we hear today the words, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." Faithful God, lead your people out from the last confusion with power, for the praise and for the glory of your name. Clear and true is thy speaking. Clarity and truth penetrates all to whom you have spoken. Lord, I thank you that all who are born of God hear thy word, and a stranger they will not follow. Lord, I ask you, give us all clarity and discernment in every way, so that we don't fall prey to a most pious error. Lord, make an end of any mixing in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit, and in my life. Together we place ourselves under your word, under your grace, under your blood, and we ask you, work in a mighty way through your Holy Spirit. Lord, your people is not only gathered here, but in many places on earth. And we ask you together, let now the time, the short time of the pure sowing come before the latter rain falls. Lord, our God, you speak through the prophet Isaiah that you give seed to the sower and to the hungry the bread. Lord, you have revealed unto us the word in its fullness. It is a living divine seed, and it shall be sown into a pure, into a washed, into a prepared heart. You yourself will bring forth your word, which has life in itself, and it will bear fruit. I thank you for it, and I worship you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us remain silent for one moment. Perhaps somebody is here who would like to dedicate his life to God. As all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, and we remain in silent prayer. Perhaps they would raise their hands briefly, putting them down again. Is somebody here? Then please raise your hand. Lord our God, also these hands you have seen, and you see the hearts. Yes, you look into my, into all of our hearts. Today, faithful God, you know me. You know how I mean it. I want to stand my ground before you. And I also want that all who heard this proclamation, who have taken all the reproach on themselves, who bore despisement, who were misunderstood, Lord, I want that we together appear before you and will stand our ground. So take us all and be merciful to all of us. Complete thou the started work by grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.